Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Every Nation Cast week of December 20th, 2010. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone out there, because it's Christmas week. And I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
It's the award show of the century.
It is. And Chris.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
And a happy new year.
Merry happy. Yeah, and as Joe alluded to in his awesome intro, it is the big show this week. It's the 5th annual Kick-Ass Awards. Like, you can take your stodgy Oscars and stuff them in a sack, because this is the only award show that counts.
You bunch of bitches.
Damn straight. But that is later in the show. Well, I'm going to get into what we always start the show with, which is show and tell. So, Joe, what have you watched over the past week?
What have I watched over the past week? Well, I saw several things.
Okay.
I saw The Mist, as per your suggestion.
Yes.
And I must say, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a pretty decent film. Not nearly as awful as some of the reviews made it out to be.
It's highly underrated.
It is. I think the CG was a little hokey at points. But the real underlying factor here for me was the quality of the story. I mean, it's based off a Stephen King novella, so you basically don't really have to do much other than adapt the screenplay. I mean, in terms of, like, crafting the story. Like, it's not like you need to say, well, this works, but what if we did this? So, I mean, yeah, they did take some liberties with it.
I've heard the Stephen King like story ending is like really vague too. Like, there's like there's no ending.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's really, it seems sort of half written, but I don't know. From what I understand, it started as just like a writing exercise that he was doing. Like, let me just sit down and write and see where this goes. And like, he didn't feel that he needed to put an ending on it, something like that. I could be making it up completely, but at least that's what I've gathered. But yeah, I thought the ending was very appropriate for this movie. It basically made it feel like a giant Twilight Zone episode, but like a very good Twilight Zone episode. So, well done, as usual, to Frank Darabont and Thomas Jane. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that you do. Don't run out and buy it by any means, but it's definitely something that you should see if you're into horror and sci-fi and just overall pretty good storytelling.
Was it weird seeing Gail and Andrea from Walking Dead in it?
Yes.
Is there anyone else from? I heard there's like a bunch of Walking Dead people in that movie. Is it just them, or is there more people?
You know, not that I noticed, but
I think those two are probably like the most, because they're like in
those are the most obvious. Yeah.
I want to see it. It was one of my Cyber Monday Blu-rays I bought. I gotta watch it because it's got black and white mode on the Blu-ray. I have to watch it.
Yes. It does. The rental Blu-ray that I got didn't have it, so I'm assuming that yours is like the special edition or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be very, very cool, and it would definitely further go with that whole Twilight Zone episode theme that I was talking about. So let's see. Other than that, I saw Patton today, which is an excellent fucking movie.
Time.
Joe had like four spare hours, so it was like, I think I'll watch
Patton. I did. I watched it from like 8:30 to noon and had a break for a job interview in between. It was a good movie, though. I mean, I see what all the hoopla was about. I'm not saying I'm going to run out and buy it or see it again anytime soon, but it was a film, and I watched it. Moving right along.
I saw the other movie, just like George C. Scott, which is basically said, like, fuck you to the Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great stuff. I don't know. I was a fan of it. I don't feel I need to explain myself. It's a good movie. And then I actually rewatched Signs today, a Netflix watch instant, because my little sisters had never seen it. And I was like, look, this is when M. Night Shyamalan used to be somewhat respected. This is the beginning of his slow descent into mediocrity.
And you consider that his last good movie.
I do. I consider it his last good movie. And even looking back on it, like, when I first saw it in the theaters, I was like, whoa, this movie, whoa. But now I'm like, oh, man, this is pretty laughable at certain points. I still think the highlight of that movie is the foreshadowing to Mel Gibson's, like, descent into madness. When he snaps at his daughter while they're eating spaghetti. We're just going to enjoy this meal. Enjoy it. Like when him and Joaquin Phoenix, who are probably like the two craziest people in Hollywood, are like running around the farmhouse and they're just like screaming shit at the top of their lungs, trying to scare like who they think are hooligans, but turn out to be the aliens. And Mel Gibson's like, I am insane with anger. I am losing my mind. Prepare for an ass beating. So yeah, it lost some pop over the years, and isn't as great as I remember it being. But you know, not many things are, sadly. Not many things are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was other stuff, but you know what? It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So, Chris, what did you watch?
I've been catching up on a lot of TV shows. Something like quick and easy to watch. Something like just, you know.
Something fast and sloppy.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I've been doing, is catching up on 30 Rock and went over Community again, mm-hmm. just for certain episodes, for certain moments. I've been trying to catch up on Mad Men. It's really hard since...
Such a good show.
Since it's one of those... You can't, like, do anything while watching it. Like, you know, certain TV shows you can just put on and then, like, you know, read or, like, draw or something.
There's so many subtleties to that show. It really does require, like, you need to really sit there and, like, watch it. You can't just, like... be in the room while it's on. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so it's just like, man, I know, like, you want like a single malt whiskey, like some
yes.
water, all in a cup.
Wear a suit,
walk around the house, and like smoke a cigarette.
Just... And like slap the first woman you see.
Make me some copies.
Man is talking.
Unbutton that top button. What the hell's the matter with you?
So, I mean, it's good. It's one of those shows that like, I need a dedicated day to marathon, because when you can't just watch one episode and just like, I'm done. No, you need to watch like five and just be like, all right, time to like
yeah.
build something or like go to war or like go to like a department
identity.
Store and tell them like what they're doing wrong. It's like you try to rearrange the merchandise, be like, yeah, I catch the eye. It's about making the family values. Happy moments means money. Like,
you're selling them the experience.
Sir, do you even work here? Like, no.
Shut up. Don't look me in the eyes. Do you know who I am?
I rented this tie.
Some free advice for you.
I'm never working in this town again. Sir, you picked this up from our tie display. Shut up. Back in the kitchen. Excuse me. I own this store. Sure you do, Toots.
Go get your father. He's the real man I need to talk to.
Let me talk to the man in charge.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, I kind of want to do an experiment with how much Mad Men I could cram into myself for, like, a day and see, like, what would happen as an experiment.
Mad Men-ize me or something?
Yeah. So I start walking around in, like, a charcoal suit, my hair slicked back with, like, any, like, a hair care product they don't make anymore.
Yeah, like, how about you just, like, fry up a big pan of bacon and then let it cool down
yes.
and then just put the grease in a jar. And just do that. That's basically what they use. They use like fucking hair grease. They called it grease. It wasn't gel. It wasn't wax. It was fucking grease.
You know what changed that, though?
The gay 80s?
No. What was that? Mando?
Mandem.
What Bronson
All
brought
world
back.
World loves a lover.
Not that again.
Yes. Mandem. Or as the commercial says, Mandamu. Super Charles Bronson, Mandem.
That's all you've been watching, Chris? Mad Men?
Mad Men commercials on YouTube. It was like Charles Bronson teaching his son how to gut a fish and then how to hit a baseball. Teaching him how to bathe in cologne on the side of a dirt road.
I think that part actually happens.
It does. I'm not making this shit up. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, hit up YouTube and search Mandom, M-A-N-D-O-M, or Mandom plus Charles Bronson, whatever. Charles Bronson did a bunch of commercials for basically Japan's precursor to Axe body spray. It was like Japan's Old Spice back in, I guess, the 70s?
Probably, yeah.
Mid to late 70s. You can still buy it in Japan, but it's like hair wax. So yeah, it was basically like their equivalent to our current crazy Ray Lewis and Terry Crews Old Spice commercials. But except these they took completely and totally seriously, and they were absolutely excellent. So treat yourself and definitely check those out.
Yes. So I watched a bunch of stuff over the last week. I started catching up on, you know how like the critics are like catching up on like their awards movies like Black Swan and stuff.
Yes.
Like I did that for us, but I watched like A-Team and Kick-Ass.
Nice, good man.
But I guess I'll start off with the Burn Notice season finale was last week. 2-hour season finale, and it was pretty awesome.
Nice.
The first hour they actually had like two of their biggest like recurring villains come back and like mess with Michael for a whole hour. And then so it was basically Tim Michael trying to figure out how to get rid of these two guys.
Hmm.
And then the second, like the last hour was Michael, Fiona, and Jesse got like trapped in like this hotel by like, the big bad guy for the season, Vaughn, who's like one of like the heads of like the organization that burned Michael. So like he had them like trapped in like this like abandoned hotel, and they had to die hard their way out of it pretty much. And then it like ended with like this crazy like they actually like changed the entire format of the show next season ending.
Rutrow.
So yeah, I won't spoil that, but it was pretty crazy. So definitely awesome way to end Burn Notice this season. It's nice to get like episodes that don't have like a case of the week. Because I love Burn Notice a lot, but like it gets into like these ruts of like, it's the case. Michael has to like go help the community center, the use of the community center with his crazy accents. So it was nice just to have like Michael spying it up with his spy skills. Let's see. And then I saw a pair of like just absolutely horrible movies last week.
I'm excited.
The first one I actually got from Netflix because a couple months ago, I saw it in, like, an FYE, like, used bargain bin. I was like, I'm going to Netflix that because it looks interesting. And I was proven wrong, but it was Detonator.
Oh, boy.
1993 classic, in quotes.
Oh,
sorry,
wow.
Pierce Brosnan, Patrick Stewart, and Christopher Lee.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is. It's amazing they got Patrick Stewart and Christopher Lee for this garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like unstoppable. With terrorists, uh-huh. But somehow more boring. Or, like, even, like, because, like, actually, Unstoppable was pretty good, but, like, it's like, when I train with terrorists, it's, like, the most boring movie ever.
God damn.
And, like, Patrick Stewart is, like, the head of, like, this, like, United Nations Anti-Crime Unit. Like, UNECO.
UNECO?
Yep.
UNECO.
So, and, like, I think his name's, like, Malcolm, like, Philpott or something. And he has, like, this awesome, like, ridiculous, like, voiceover at the beginning, like, introduced the movie. It's like, nuclear weapons were stolen by a German scientist and turned into two nuclear weapons. And not my unit, UNACO, must get them back.
Now that you're up to speed, we can begin with the plot.
And then Christopher Lee is, like, this, like, renegade Russian general.
Aren't they all renegades, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, Pierce Brosnan, like, this, like, team, like, four-person team has to, like, go stop the train. It has the nuclear bomb on it. Like, it's just, like, a bunch of, like, half-assed, like, attempts to stop the train. So it's, like, their first plan is to, like, drop Pierce Brosnan on top of the train. But then, like, he has to, like, pull away because the terrorists are, like, shooting at him through the top of the train. So he's like, jump away.
How old is this movie again?
1993.
Okay.
Like they try to like stop it in like a tunnel and like the Italians don't show up in time because like trains like driving through Europe. So, like, each country, like, it goes to, like, a different country, like, every, like, hour or so. So like, they have to get each nation, like, different countries, like, help. So, like, Italy is, like, the next on the list, so they try to get their help, but, like, they show up late. So, the train just, like, barrels through the tunnel without, like, because like, Italy was supposed to, like, pull a train in the end of the tunnel to block them, but they didn't. So, it just, like, blows through, and, like, they manage to, like, shoot, like, one or two terrorists, but then the train just keeps going.
God damn.
It's just, like, it just keeps going from there. And, like, Pierce Brosnan, I don't know, like, if he's supposed to be, like, a redneck from Kentucky, or, like, he just, like, got exiled to Kentucky, because they keep calling him, like, a redneck and everything, but, like, he has, like, his British accent, so I don't know what's going on. And he races motorcycles at Daytona for some reason. It's just, it's stupid. It's, like, it's not cheesy good, it's just bad.
It's the 1993 classic.
That should be forgotten by everyone. And has been forgotten by everyone.
Yes, has been thoroughly forgotten.
And slightly more enjoyable bad, I watched Mega Piranha on Netflix Instant Watch. Starring
nice.
Tiffany.
My favorite.
And it's just, it's like, I guess Tiffany is like the scientist, and like she and her group like genetically modified these piranha in this river to like, they would grow like, and like they'd be like stronger and like able to thrive better in the river, so they could like be a better food source or something for the people. But they just start like growing rapidly. Like they grow like double every hour. So basically, like running up this river, like pretty much destroying everything in their path. It's like giant school of piranha. And like this guy gets sent down by the State Department. He's like sub John Cena level acting. He's like,
oh man.
He's like,
too soon.
He probably went to like the. Like, the auditions for the Marine, like, got rejected. So now he's in Mega Piranha.
Yikes.
So he's horrible, and, like, he goes down to, like, because, like, this, I think it's, like, a ambassador or something got eaten by the piranhas on, like, this party boat. So he has to go investigate that. And then, like, it's by the asylum, so, like, typical, like, asylum, just, like, horrible, like, CG and, like, nonsensical stock footage. Like it's supposed to take place on this river in like South America, so like the guy is diving into the river to like investigate like this boat wreck, but it's like stock footage of like ocean coral reef. It's ridiculous.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
And by the end of the movie, like the piranha are like so huge, they're like eating buildings.
I know you're not kidding too. Like that's what's hilarious
then, like,
about this.
So the United States has to send in like a destroyer to like. Bombard the piranha.
They have to send in a techno gator?
Not, unfortunately, no, but...
Damn. One day.
But, oh, best scene in the movie? So, John Cena guy and, like, Tiffany, like, running to this beach to, like, try to, like, see where the piranha are. Because Tiffany has, like, this radar device that can tell where fish are in the river. It's like...
You mean, like, a radar?
It's like... it's a sonar. It's a fish sonar. But it's, like, a GPS device that, like... It's not even in the water. How can you tell if there's fish? But then so the guy gets attacked by fish. And he's like on the beach, like pedaling, like he's like pedaling like a bike, like kicking piranha out of the way.
God damn!
It's ridiculously awful.
Are you trying to take my title from me, Zach? Of just like bored Netflix time watching?
I think he's giving you a run for your money, dude. That's
Boston, New York, court, Chris.
I know. You didn't show me Irish American Ninja, so.
Oh God, no!
You're welcome.
Where the entire movie is like summed up in 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes, and it's just like, did we watch the trailer, or is this the movie?
The trailer was the beginning credits, and then yep. Like the movie began, and like it's nothing but the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so actually, good movies I saw. Last night I saw Tron Legacy, the big winner at the box office this weekend. And I don't want to spoil it too much, but it was pretty awesome. The ending was kind of weird, and like the plot's kind of like as not as convoluted as the first movie, but still pretty convoluted. Like they just like throw terms out that like you don't really know what's going on. It's like there are the ISOs and the users and the programs and the we're on the grid and
this is not made in a Mac.
But I love, like, Jeff Bridges is, he's like Darth Dude, pretty much, in this movie.
Well, they kind of spoil it by having, like, two, they show you both Jeff Bridges, like, the clean-cut orange one and, like, the like the wise man in prison version.
Yeah. Well, like so. Old Jeff Bridges is like, he exiled himself to like this like hippie, like mountaintop, like retreat, and like pretty much like meditates all day. But then like he finally has to like get, so when he finally gets in like get into action, he's like this awesome like Jedi cloak, and he just like walks around and like mind tricks like all the programs and stuff.
So I wish that's how real life programming is. It's not. It's ramming code until it doesn't break, and then after that, it's debugging, and then optimization.
Mm-hmm.
It's if it was the Tron universe where you go in your fucking code and you yell at everything that won't listen to you, and you challenge it to games or sports, and you make it work.
It's really weird too. Like he's pretty badass, but he's like he's always talking like, "Yo, man, I thought about like he's talking to his son about like Wi-Fi. He's like, I thought of that in 1985, man. So it's like the dude, but like if the dude was a Jedi.
God damn.
He wasn't like that in the first Tron movie. He was like a geek.
He kind of was. He called people man a lot. We're going to revolutionize the internet, man.
Internet 2.0.
Internet 2.0. And,
interwebs.
Disc battles are pretty great. The light cycle sequence is awesome. The only thing is, like, it kind of seems like they were putting them at the front. Like, they're in, like, as soon as, like, they get to, like, Tron, like, the kid gets into Tron, it's like, you're in the disc battle. So, like, it kind of seems like they had a checklist of, like, things they had to do for Tron, and they want to get him out of the way before they get to, like, the actual story.
They're just pleasing the fans.
They're still pretty awesome, though, so. Let's see what else. Oh, and Daft Punk score is fucking amazing. There's actually an awesome fight scene. There's also an awesome fight scene in like a nightclub where I don't know if you guys have heard the track "Derezzed," but that's where that comes in. It's pretty bitchin'. So and the 3D is pretty great too. It's actually kind of weird though, because there's like a disclaimer before the movie starts. It's like some of these scenes were filmed in 2D, but please leave your 3D glasses on. I think everything in the real world is 2D, but then when you get into the grid, it's 3D.
Disclaimer: this is the sequel to a movie that was made in the 80s. You cannot find it on DVD or Blu-ray.
Oh, speaking of 80s, awesome use of Journey.
Oh God!
They use separate ways, and it's like, is there a more appropriate song? And then, so I definitely recommend checking it out. And then, last movie I saw was The A-Team, finally. Like, that took a while again. Like, when they came out.
Well, it's about time.
It came out in, like, July, didn't it? It just came out on DVD, like, last week or 2 weeks ago. It
sure did, yep.
It was really weird, but, yeah, finally watched that. Awesomely over the top. Like, action sequences are, just, like, insane, but they're awesome. Like parachuting tanks and like,
yes,
floating like a cargo container with airbags and like.
It's definitely an A-Team movie.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Like, it's not just like based on the A-Team. Like, no, it's the A-Team movie that they never got to make.
Yeah, I love like all the aspects of the show they got in, like them like building crazy shit and like the A-Sphere flying and like Murdoch being insane. Which Sharkto Copley is awesome in this movie. I think he kind of steals the show. I think he steals the movie.
Nice.
And Liam Neeson's badass as always. And he's in this great, like, I'm an action hero now. So more power than Liam Neeson, like, Taken and this and looks like.
Yeah, really.
Unknown coming up.
Yes, Batman Begins. Way to go.
It's just like, yes, Liam Neeson can kick your ass. He won his awards, now he's just gonna kick people's asses.
In the twilight of my career, I'm going to make a career out of breaking necks and busting balls.
I thought the plot was kind of like weirdly complex for an A-Team movie, though. Did you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of double-crossing shit going on.
Mm-hmm. I also thought it was kind of weird that like halfway through the movie, like Patrick Wilson, like it's all like all of a sudden like a switch is thrown, and all of a sudden he's like this like crazy like funny bad guy.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange,
like
actually.
Like, for the first hour or so, he's just, like, I'm generic, like, I'm clearly the bad guy, but I'm just, like, but I'm just gonna, like, play it as I'm not a bad guy, but it's, like, generically bad, but then all of a sudden, like, a switch is thrown, and all of a sudden he's, like, Max from The Losers. And you can like, pinpoint the exact moment it happens, too, because, like, he's talking to, like, his, like, crony about Broadsword, like, his call sign Broadsword, he's like, Broadsword? Dude, that's awesome, did you think of that yourself?
Yeah.
And then from that point on, it's just, like, every line he says is like a one-liner or a wisecrack or something.
So you mean to tell me it went from like one writer to like his son, and now like it downgraded. I hate when movies do that.
It's
damn shame.
I don't think it's ever clear like why Jessica Biel is there either.
Yeah.
Like, why did she show up in the beginning?
No, it's not. You're right.
And she shows up and says like, "Face, you better not go steal those plates." And it's like.
Guess what I'm going to do.
Patrick Wilson's like, you better go steal those plates. So I don't know, like, who sent Jessica Biel there the first? I don't know. It's just, like, it's really weird. And then she's like, you guys are criminals. I'm going to catch you.
Okay, Miss Biel.
But, you know, the plot's basically just, like, a way to get to, like, all the crazy action sequences.
Yeah.
And for that, it works. So
it does.
I would definitely recommend, like, if you're an action fan like we are, I'd definitely say check it out. You know, it's not going to be on Netflix for, like, another month.
Womp, womp.
So.
Yeah, I think me and Netflix will be parting ways pretty soon. You hear that, Netflix? I'm thinking of seeing other people.
You're losing a valuable customer.
Seriously, how do you motherfuckers for 4 years now make me wait?
Needs to switch to like streaming only.
I think what I'm going to wind up doing is doing streaming only and then paying the like $15 Blockbuster plan. Because if you think about it, you don't have to wait for the new releases. And like if it's a weekend, you don't have to say, well, I guess I'll mail this back Monday and I'll have a new movie Wednesday. No, fuck that. Drive to the store. You get like five exchanges per month.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty excellent, so I may have to do that.
Right, so
I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about the divorce on the air, so we'll move on.
All right, so I'm going to get into news, because there was a ton of news last week.
Choo-choo!
Thank you for the news sound, Joe.
Well, you know what? This is a big episode for us, so hype it up a little bit.
Actually, definitely head over to www.everythingnews.com and look for last week's news shotgun post. It's the one with Nicolas Cage's Big Daddy for a picture. There's a ton of stuff in there.
Indeed.
But why don't we start out with like the trailer for last week? We got the trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. So did you guys watch that one?
Looking good. I like that they kept the Comic-Con like... Or they reworked the Comic-Con, like, Jack Sparrow introduction, where he's, like, breaking the fourth wall and talking to the audience.
Well, because I thought it was just like, this is not about a movie. Or maybe it is. Ooh. It's like, it is. I just thought, like, I thought that was made just for Comic-Con, but now that they incorporate it, I see, like, I don't know, because, I don't know.
Was that Chris?
Lost Chris. In space. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Chris, got-
I'm saying that I think this is their way of apologizing in case people don't like the movie already. You know, just like... Because I feel like they don't need a fourth movie, but they're trying to... Feel like it's really dried.
But it made like $11 billion, so...
It consistently makes that much money, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I don't know. I don't feel like the third one was like a terrible disappointment. Like I kind of liked it.
It got way too up its own ass with like all the crazy like there was like quadruple crosses and like crazy knots and like
it was too convoluted.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like I'll tell you
it
what
looked
when
awesome.
I was done with the movie, I wasn't like, "Okay, no more of that ever again." Like you know, I don't think they need to keep, like, cranking out sequels, but if you make a new Pirates movie every, you know, few years, like, and I don't mean every, like, 2 or 3 years, I mean, like, you know, every 5 or 6 years. You know, give us a break. Make us, you know, miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think this looks good. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious to see how the story pans out, because I mean, I saw Keith Richards, so I'm like, oh god.
I'm hoping,
what's this mess gonna be like?
I hope it's back to like the simplicity of the first one.
That would be the best.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one was just a basic story and a good movie.
Rollicking swashbuckler.
Exactly.
Also, Ian McShane as Blackbeard is like the most perfect casting ever.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it's got like zombies and mermaids.
What more can you ask for?
No. So, any other thoughts, guys? Excited?
I'm overwhelmed with joy.
It's part of the ridiculously crowded next summer.
Yeah, oh my god, I know. The summer film orgy.
Yep. So, other Johnny Depp movie we got a trailer for last week, Rango, which is the animated movie by Gore Verbinski, who actually did the Three Pirates movies, coincidentally enough. And then it's about Johnny Depp is Rango. He's like this, I guess he's like a lizard. I don't know what kind of lizard he is, like gecko or something, maybe, or like a alien. I think he's a chameleon, but...
Is he a karma chameleon?
We can only hope.
Oh, God, I hope so.
But he's sort of like, he's running away from a bird, and like he stumbles into like this Wild West town that's got a bunch of furry animals in it, and he becomes the sheriff. Then he has to like fight off these like evil animals. I got a very Philo Goes West vibe from it. Like, but more gritty.
In a world. Oh man, gritty Fievel Goes West. That's.
I don't know. See, here's a little side story though. Like, I think I watched a shitload of Disney movies as a kid, where it came like I start clapping animals based on like their alignment of evil and good. You know,
yeah.
Just like, oh, it's a snake, evil. And like you see like a fox or a rabbit or like a bear, and you're like, oh, like these are my woodland creature friends.
Mm-hmm. If it's slimy, it's evil. Or if it's an insect.
Yeah.
If it's a mammal, it's good.
If it has babies, it's usually good.
This doesn't really work for, like, Philo Goes West stuff, because, like, Caterwaul. The evil cat. If the cat is fat, then it's an evil cat.
Yeah, but wait, wasn't it, like, in the second movie, Philo Goes West, where, like, there's a cat whorehouse?
Yes, there is. Where like Fievel's sister goes to work.
Yeah, as a fucking whore mouse singer.
Yeah.
But that's another
like,
story.
Wasn't like, and then Caterwaul's like master plan was like kill the entire like population with like a mouse trap.
A giant mouse trap.
Yeah.
Have to like stand.
So that
in
he could eat and... them. To get fatter. Yeah. That was his whole plan.
But that's ruining your economy by eating the people giving you the money.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so any thoughts on Rango?
None. Didn't watch the preview.
I'm a little too old for Rango to be like, yeah, it's gonna be like, wow, I gotta be really drunk to go like accidentally see that or something.
It's kind of interesting art style or animation style.
I have a feeling like it'll be on HBO incessantly when it's, you know, that time.
And it's not Disney, it's not DreamWorks, not Pixar, so it's one of those upstarts.
Yeah.
It's Nickelodeon.
Is it Nickelodeon?
God, it's Nickelodeon. Damn, really?
Okay.
They want to throw their hat in the ring.
I know there's like a bunch of like not affiliated animated movies coming out next year, like Rio, it gets with like the bird who can't fly.
Oh yeah. That looks heartwarming.
So, last trailer we talked about, Fast 5. I know everyone's probably excited about this one. The fifth Fast and the Furious movie.
It's just what the world needs in a town like this.
It does.
I'll be able to sleep better tonight knowing that there's a fifth Fast and Furious movie coming out.
Did you guys check out the trailer?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Let me guess. There are cars.
Yes.
Vin Diesel does stuff.
Yep.
And then there's a witty line, and then it cuts to a slow motion car crash of some sort. Then it cuts back to random fast shots of driving, And then it says, Fast Five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, I saw it. I didn't care for it. I don't think it needs to be made. I don't think there's a demand for another installment of the Fast and Furious series. I'm pretty sure the story's fine where it is.
No, there's a wild card in this one, though, Joe. The Rock.
Yes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But,
he's like crazy,
I don't
badass
even think
cop
he could save it.
With his, like, weird, like, tier one beard.
God damn it. Now you're going to make me watch this preview, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
It's also about, like, the...
See? This movie's killing him.
I can't talk. It's making me so...
The Rock's behind you, choking you.
What'd you say about my movie, Jabroni?
It's got, like, the all-stars of, like, the Fast and Furious franchise.
Bow Wow?
Not Bow Wow, Ludacris.
Luda!
And Tyrese Gibbons from... They were both from Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, of course.
You got the trio from the first one, Vin Diesel, Jordana Brewster, and Paul Walker. And then you have that guy from Tokyo Drift.
So they're really going all out.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be one perfect car accident when they all die, and it's like, the end!
Hopefully.
This is going to be the Godfather 2 of the Fast and Furious installments.
Even though it's the fifth one.
Yes, better late than never.
There is a scene...
Actually, no, better never in this case.
Like, I really like the end scene of this trailer where, like, Paul Walker and Vin Diesel, like, rip a safe out of the wall of a bank with two cars and, like, drive it down the street getting chased by cops.
Oh, those boys will be boys.
I think if they focus more on, like, ridiculous, like, car chase things like that and not, like, street racing, even though there's going to be, like, obligatory street racing in this movie...
Oh, absolutely.
I think
wasn't Paul Walker like a cop or something? Why is he doing very legal things still?
That I don't like the logic of these movies. Like, there's no logic.
Nobody knows. It's okay.
So, first one, he's a cop, and then he let Vin Diesel go. So now he went on the run to Miami in the second one. Then I think he got reinstated somehow in the second one because in the fourth one he's working for the FBI. Even though he aged and abetted a felon.
You lose your job over that. Like, there's, like...
But then the end,
no
the
other
end of the
thing.
One, he's, like, on the run again. Because he's, like, joined Vin Diesel and the crew to, like, free Vin Diesel from, like, that prison bus.
One more know, like, time. Any other profession, like a firefighter who, like, you know, oh, he started a fire to save something, you know? Like, oh, honorable, I guess. And then, like, he does it again for another, like, fucking time?
Yep.
You get fired.
I don't know. They're also in Rio de Janeiro this time.
Good.
And there's
it's
like
about time.
There's an evil businessman.
I wonder how this will unfold.
A quarter mile at a time.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with that.
So, moving on to other car-related movies news. We have
Herbie Fully Loaded 2. No, never mind. Go on.
we got news early last week that Europa Corp is actually developing a Transporter TV show for, I think, they didn't say a network, I don't think, but they said like a media.
I think it was on Oxygen.
Was it on Oxygen? Yet.
Or Wii?
It's gonna be the,
yeah, I think it was on Wii TV, actually.
The Oprah Network that's coming out soon.
Yes, yes. Right before Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess they got like a 11-episode first season contract or something.
Excellent.
Like
that's good news.
$4 million in episode budget.
God,
Jesus.
Damn.
So what do you guys think? Transporter TV show.
Better get ready for Transporter.
Who are they... Yeah, are they going to see you off of Frank, or are they going to make, like, some people who just drive fast?
It's probably going to be, like, a fucked-up car service. It's like we have all these asshole drivers that are always getting into trouble.
It's probably going to be, like,
it's gonna be like
Frank
Taxi and Mystery and fucking Mission Impossible.
They're probably going to be, like, Frank Martin's nephew or son or something.
God damn it.
Or is that boy from the second movie?
Maybe.
Oh, the kid, yeah.
The kid who just like who had like that blood disease
mm-hmm.
virus.
Oh yeah, little Billy.
Like, I like the Transformer movies. Making a TV show would just, like, kill it for me, I think. Just the fact that, like, the Transporter, like, each movie is the same thing, but, like, there's a certain clientele that he sleeps with and doesn't sleep with.
And they have to get more ridiculous, you know, each time.
Right.
If you're over 120 pounds, I'm afraid I can't sleep with you tonight.
That wasn't part of the deal.
Yeah. I suggest you hit the sauna.
I don't know how, like, how they do, like, make, like, an awesome... They have to do, like, an awesome car chase, like, every episode.
I hope it's got A-Team-esque van flips.
Oh, God, flips, yes.
Every single episode.
Bring back the...
No matter what.
Bring back
shoot
the
shoot a bullet at a
rap.
Van. Why did that even flip? I don't know. But it was awesome.
Bring back the hydraulic lift. Flip ramp.
Yeah, really. Boom, for no reason.
I think we kind of need like a good action show though, because I don't know.
Absolutely.
Like Human Target.
24
like,
is gone.
Closest thing we have is like Human Target, but that is going rapidly downhill. Like I think the AV Club said it best when like they sold its personality to like stay on the air.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's just like everything takes place in like generic like warehouses and shit now, and like generic buildings. Because, like the first season of Human Target was, like, we're in, like, the Alaskan wilderness. We're in a monastery. We're in, like, crazy ruins. It's just, like, this is, like, we're in San Francisco again. We're in an office building.
Wait, didn't they do that to the Terminator, like, the Sarah Connor Chronicles? Where, like, it started, like, in cities and then downgraded, like, forests and then downgraded, like, basements.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know because I stopped watching that after the first episode.
I did too.
Good.
It was just like, there's a time machine in this bank. You remember that part?
Okay. Thanks, guys.
The pieces are all in different safety deposit boxes, and we're gonna travel back in time.
Felt like such a douchebag too, because I was all excited to watch it. I was like, oh, this show's gonna be great. This is gonna be cool. Like I made people watch it with me while I was at school.
Yep.
And they're like, you suck, Joe. You have very poor taste in television. And that's my story.
It was a good one.
I know.
So, probably talking about the Transporter show if it comes out.
I'd be a fan. I mean, I'd be supportive of them making one.
You definitely got to check out the pilot when it comes out.
Yeah, oh. That should be cool.
Mm-hmm. So, other news. A bit of directing news last week. David Fincher actually got confirmed for the remake of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Wow.
Any thoughts on that?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Just
is it
to be as brutally honest as I can.
Still...
I don't. It's just like they're making a new 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea movie.
You know, there's a certain space in Hollywood that I think they I'm not sure why they do it, but they just remake it just for the sake of having movies each year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it feels like one of those categories where like they just had to make it, no good reason. Like Big Mama's House 3, you know, like it fits in that same realm of
how
movies
good
that
does that movie
have.
Look?
Most anticipated movie 2011.
So not needed. They could have
sleeper hit of the year.
Mama's Got Backup.
Why did they attach that trailer to Faster, Chris?
What?
Why did they attach that trailer to Faster?
Because Dwayne Johnson was in Faster, so they assumed they could appeal to that kind of community.
What's it like, the half-black, half-Samoan crowd? I don't, because it's a fat... It's a black man in a fat suit, so they just assume Samoans? How dare they?
I don't know. Blame AMC, cool. The AMC movie theater. Oh my God.
So anyway, David Fincher.
Yes, David Fincher. 20,000 Leagues Underneath the Sea.
I would like to see. I think he could bring like a. I would like to see like his gritty take on 20,000 Leagues. Like, if it was like Bioshocky, that'd be pretty awesome.
I was just gonna say they should probably just like flip him the good old bird and just make it into the Bioshock movie and just fuck with people's heads and call it 20,000 Leagues Under the Bioshock.
See, if they make, like, a Bioshock movie, I'm happy. But the fact that, like, we should make 20,000 Leagues on the Sea,
Let's make other underwater movies and just see how it turns out. Then maybe we'll make a BioShock movie.
Watch they make the fucking Abyss instead of making BioShock. No. They go back.
I will not let that happen.
Joe, fly Absolutely. To Hollywood and burn it down.
I will burn Hollywood to the ground. I really will. Me and Gary Busey will burn that shit down.
And also, for the Disney version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is still awesome, so there's no need for a remake.
Yeah, really? What the
hell? Douglas one? Oh, man.
Stop remaking everything, Hollywood.
Just,
what the fuck?
Just release that on Blu-ray.
Seriously, it'll save you like $6 million. Easily.
It was actually on Turner Classic Movies the other day, and it looks awesome in like HD.
Man, I should probably catch that.
So, other bit of directing news. We learned that Jon Favreau is out for Iron Man 3.
Boo.
Because apparently Marvel was like wanting too much shit from like the Avengers in it and stuff, and they're too meddling.
Not cool, but very, very, very cool on Favreau's part.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because we've all seen what happens when the studios don't let directors make their movie. I'm looking at you, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, okay?
Yes.
Poor Joel Schumacher takes a lot of shit for those two movies when really it's not all his fault, okay? He had a lot of, you know, requirements from toy companies, from merchandising, all this shit, to the point where his scripts had to be rewritten, and you know, it's just a shitty situation. So I really would like to hope that Marvel's not going down that path. But I mean, the more I hear about it, the more that's what it seems like it is.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like infringing on his, you know, ability to just make the fucking movie. He made Iron Man 1, and I thought it was excellent. I mean, that's probably my favorite Marvel movie so far, is the first Iron Man.
And Iron Man 2 is still good, but it's got like that whole like middle part where it's like, here's Nick Fury.
Right, right. It's a little, it seems like a trailer for the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, Thor. I mean, what the hell? Why would you put like the end credit scene, like the post credit scene, in, you know, New Mexico with Thor's hammer? Like, that's cool and all, but like, at least let Iron Man be there. Like, that's a big no-no in my book.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just a free commercial for Thor. Which, again, like, it's fine with me that you're doing that. I think it's cool. I'm a fan of that, but at least let Iron Man be somewhat involved. At least put a Stark Industries, like, sign up somewhere. Do something.
Yeah.
But, goddamn. But who do you think could replace him? If it's Bryan Singer, I'm going to burn Hollywood to the ground. Because then, like, the Iron Man suit will become, like, a metaphor for, like, the gay closet, you know?
It's... Wear the closet outside.
Exactly.
I can't come out of the suit. I'm afraid for people to see me for what I really am. What will my father think?
He's dead, Tony. You have to let go.
But I feel his hatred from beyond the grave.
Have you tried not being Iron Man?
He never approved of us, Rhodey. Never.
Fuck.
Oh, well,
Brett
thing.
Ratner.
Oh, God.
Fresh from How about Kites the Remix.
Kites. How about Michael fucking Bay? Let's do that.
Yes.
That would be interesting.
We'll have to see how Transformers 3 goes, but...
Hey, I would be... I would be very curious to see what a Michael Bay Iron Man looked like.
It'd be all recast. With, like, Shia LaBeouf as Tony Stark.
God damn it. That would be awful. We decided to go with Ultimate Iron Man and make him a snotty teenager.
Like, and then, like, some, like, Victoria's Secret model for, like, Pepper Potts.
God
Tyrese Gibbons
it.
For, Rhodey.
Rhodey / War Machine. Oh, man.
Break the
I
break!
Have a bad feeling like it's gonna be, like, a very stereotyped comic book director. And, of course, that would probably leave us with Bryan Singer or Zack Snyder even. But
I'm okay
probably,
with Zack Snyder.
Probably Zack Snyder would be cool, but I think DC's gonna buy him.
What about Matthew Vaughn, who directed Kick-Ass, and is directing X-Men First Class?
It would make sense to keep it in the Marvel family, so to speak. It depends on how well received First Class is.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends.
Yep.
But I mark my words. Zack Snyder, he's basically already owned by DC, but they're really going to buy him out with this Superman movie.
Yep.
Because they want him to, if this goes well, they want him to direct the next, like, however many Superman movies, plus they're probably going to want him to do to continue Batman after Christopher Nolan leaves. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
You think that would go, Joe, do you think that they ever go back to that cartoony Batman feel since Batman Forever?
Oh, like, do you mean to take a break from the, like, melodramatic, like, slit your wrist Batman?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to go more, here's the thing. I think that Batman is very James Bondish right now. And the reason I say that is because he's, like, so based in, like, real world technology and, like, cool shit that actually exists and whatnot. But I have a feeling, like, whoever takes over the series, whoever the next director is going to go with an old school, like, Alex Ross sort of Batman, you know, where he's not, like, wearing a RoboCop suit,
mm-hmm.
but where it's just more like a stripped down, like, I'm just a super fucking badass with a grappling gun and some batarangs type thing. Like, I would expect it to look more like that, fan film, Batman Dead End, you know? I'd expect it to look
Bat
more like
sun.
That. Right, right. Well, no, not Bat in the Sun. It was, Sandy Carolla, who just, like, randomly did it. Bat in the Sun has done some good stuff, don't get me wrong, but they've never done mm-hmm. anything close to, Dead End. Dead End was the one with Alien and Predator and Joker and Alien and Predator and Joker. So yeah, that's where I think it's going, where it's going to take a more like violent, aggressive late 80s comic book Batman tone. So that'd be kind of cool though. But you know, the whole thing is they have to keep it fresh. And that goes for any superhero franchise. Spider-Man's getting a reboot, which, you know, the more I hear about it, the more, you know, open I am to it, you know, just because while I feel like Sam Raimi did sort of deserve the fourth movie, especially considering that it was like almost in production,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it wasn't like the third one came out and they're like, well, you're gone. They're like, okay, let's see what we could do next. And then they just scrapped it on him. Like, I don't think that's cool because I don't really think it was his fault. But it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it. It's going to be interesting to keep it fresh. Same thing goes for the next Batman movie after this one. Where are they going to go with it? Now we need to see what happens with Iron Man. I think that the formula for the Iron Man movies are pretty successful, though. I feel like as long as you get a director who could follow Jon Favreau's style for the actual like storytelling aspect of the movie, it will be all set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it'll be interesting to see if they do like a more, not to be stereotypical here, but to do a more, like, gritty, like, darker sort of Iron Man. Because, like, Whiplash wasn't the, you know, darkest villain.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some exposition about his past, but he's not, like, a freaking maniac or anything. That being said, though, I think it's time to bring out the Mandarin.
Yes.
Because, what the fuck? It's going to be your third Iron Man movie, and no,
it's,
no Mandarin? It's that's, like, his biggest villain.
It's time to bring the Chinese community down a peg.
Exactly. It's time to it's time to show them what's what.
Yep.
So it's basically going to be Iron Man versus Asia.
Maybe Crimson Dynamo?
Maybe. That wouldn't be bad either.
Keep the trend of like dudes in suits fighting Iron Man.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I feel like with a new director, if you use the Mandarin, I mean, that's a recurring villain.
Yeah.
That's like the Joker. You know, like obviously had Heath Ledger not died, Joker was always intended to come back in the third movie, according to Chris Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because he's like the Batman villain. And I feel that way about the Mandarin for Iron Man. I mean, he's got some good enemies, don't get me wrong, but like that's his main villain, I feel. Him and Whiplash, probably.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting to see if they, with the Avengers crossover and everything, if maybe they don't just start, like, shuffling villains around. Because certainly, like, the Spider-Man and Daredevil villains are interchangeable. You know, like, they could be shared.
Yeah.
In a Marvel universe. Same thing goes for Iron Man. I mean, you could even have Iron Man, you could even have the villain be, like, Hulk or something like that. You know, I mean, obviously that's probably where they're going with the Avengers movie in general. But, you know, don't if you're going to use the Marvel universe, it shouldn't just be for the heroes to cross over and make cameos. Have some villains. Don't be afraid.
It's like the Avengers cartoon. Which actually,
I still haven't seen it. Man.
Show
what
tell?
The hell is wrong with
Can I show and tell earlier? I should get caught up with that the last two episodes.
Absolutely. Through the magic of editing.
they actually had third to last episode, because they actually had one on Sunday, and then they had two before that. So it was actually Masters of Evil versus the Avengers. And it was ridiculous.
Oh, nice.
So it was like, it was Baron Zemo, Crimson Dynamo, Abomination, Wonder Man, Enchantress, and Executioner versus the Avengers. And the Avengers are like...
That's pretty badass.
The Avengers are like completely...
When did Wonder Man become a villain?
In the cartoon, he's like a rival industrialist to Tony Stark. And like Tony Stark bought his company. So he got all pissed off at Tony Stark and like went to MODOK to like make him more powerful. To like get revenge of Tony. So he became like pure energy Wonder Man. And like started attacking the Avengers. But then they like defeated him. But energy was like dissipating, but like Enchantress came and like brought him back to like form, like kept them like stable. So he joined the Masters of Evil.
Okay, that's not a bad idea though, or at least they're branching out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and actually, like the Avengers are like fully stocked up now too. They have like it's Captain America, Hawkeye, Wasp, Ant-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, and Black Panther.
Oh, nice. Yeah, don't be afraid to use Black Panther, Marvel. What the fuck? It's almost 2011. It's time for a Black Marvel hero other than the War Machine cameo.
I think the cartoon's actually leading to like the Kree-Skrull War too coming up, cuz they actually had like a Kree episode.
And this is on Disney XD or whatever?
Yeah.
Interesting that they would go with Skrulls for like what's obviously supposed to be a kid show. But then again, Spectacular Spider-Man surprised us too, right? So hopefully...
It's either like Kree-Skrull War or like Secret War. I don't know what they're going for.
Secret War would be pretty cool. And they're both good, don't get me wrong, but...
Because I guess... Because like they actually like blew up Hydra Island like the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And like they captured like... Was it like Cobra or something? Or like Viper or something? Like one of the chicks from Hydra...
Mm-hmm.
And they capture her, and she's like a Skrull. So, and like Fury has the girl locked up in some like prison.
Bastards.
So yeah, it's I think you can get it on the PlayStation Store too if you want to check it out, Joe.
Are they free?
No, they're not free, but it's like $1.99 episode.
Ah, who has that kind of money?
For a cup of coffee a day.
Actually, I think
you can watch the Avengers.
I think the first two episodes might be up on Marvel.com.
Free. That'd be cool. Yeah. I'll wait for the Blu-ray.
And the first two episodes are awesome because it's like every single Marvel villain in existence like breaks out of prison. So you see like
in the worst day in a long time.
So you see people like Mandrill and like King Cobra and like just crazy
Marvel
villains.
You were telling me that.
Crazy, exactly. Obscure Marvel villains. Like Lady...
That's really
Lady excellent. Whiplash. Crimson Dynamo. So yeah, it's definitely awesome. So, off that sidetrack, I want to get to the last news story. Which is,
yes.
Sci-Fi and Universal teaming up to make a film production arm. I think NBC Universal owns Sci-Fi already, I think. It's part of like... Because they own like USA and Sci-Fi and Chiller and Sleuth, mm-hmm. and all those crazy channels. But I think the main thing about this is people are wondering, are Sci-Fi original movies actually going to be released in theaters now?
Oh, God, I hope not. Because
they said they're going to – two movies a year in theaters. So I don't know what they're going to do. Sharktopus on the big screen.
They're going to saturate the theater market then. Like, it's funny to go see a bad movie now and then when you know it's going to be questionable, like Devil.
Yeah.
But when you know that, like, the company logo is going to be on it, you're like, this movie, yes, you know, the joy of it will just dwindle.
Will the Asylum actually be like a film production company?
You need the shitty team to remind the good team why they're good, you know? Like, we don't want a fair market where, like, oh, like, you get movies in movie theaters because you're good enough to show to a general public. Not because, like, you know, they thought it was a joke that would stop, but no.
Mm-hmm. I think people were also speculating that they could be, like, making movies out of, like, sci-fi shows, like Farscape or Battlestar Galactica or something like that.
Oh, great.
Farscape's still on?
No, but, like, I think they own the rights to that, so. And there's a rabid fan base for it. Obviously none of us are.
I'm not a part of.
None of us are, but they're those people,
I'm in no way affiliated with. Hiding as they should be.
Rain their fanfic.
God damn it. This is all because of that Outer Limits movie, isn't it?
I don't know, maybe.
Fuck. Well, coming soon with theater near you, Technogator.
Mega Shark versus
Punctopus
2.
Oh man. And
versus
this
Angry
time.
Piranha.
Yep. Okay, so when we get the new release roundup for this week, there is a bunch of stuff coming out. Sort of like getting that last minute Christmas gift category. First up,
actually, I might need to listen to these pretty closely, so yeah.
So
I'm excited.
First up, we have Family Guy. It's a Trap, which is the Family Guy spoof of Return of the Jedi.
Oh, God damn it!
And you can also get all.
You need to stop.
You can also get all three in like a three pack.
Family Guy needs to stop
like
doing
them.
Star Wars specials.
Another side note: did you guys watch the Robot Chicken Star Wars special?
I forgot it was on.
Okay.
It looked very funny though when
it was hilarious.
Seth Green was on Conan, that clip with like the Emperor on the escalator.
Yeah,
that looked very good.
It starts out with like it's like a John Hughes movie where like the Emperor's like falling on the shaft. Like, how did my life get to this? It's like and, like Bob O'Reilly's playing. It's like it's like crazy. It's like stories of like Boba Fett, Darth Vader, and the Emperor, just like all six movies. It's also an hour long, too, which is crazy for Robot Chicken, which is usually 50 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, that's a 15-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
So, let's see. Also out this week, we have Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Oh, God, yeah.
You can also get both Wall Street movies in a double pack, of course. Oh, we have...
You only watch one of them.
Salt is out this week, the Angelina Jolie movie.
No thanks.
Easy A is out this week, didn't they come out like the spring? Didn't they come out like March? I don't know.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that movie.
Chris, I'm probably excited about that one, right, Chris?
On Netflix.
You're Netflix.
That's something that like I drunkenly put on and then I walk away and I come back after like making a sandwich. I'm like, holy shit, this is on. And then like whoever like passes by my room, like they question me. I'm just like, I don't know.
It looked fun.
I just want deniability. I want deniability to anything.
I don't control what my friend Joe does. I don't watch what it just comes up by itself. I don't know.
I'm on Netflix. I don't know what I do. Those days are gone since the update of the Xbox, but No, every time I watch like a chick flick, it's always like I need deniability to anything. Like the one Drunken Time watch Proposal, and I blamed it on like God.
Why are you
mocking
me?
Yeah, man, I saw that you watched that. I was like, whoa, slow night. What happened?
I saw Ryan Reynolds and I saw Sandra Bullock, and I figured, you know, I like them both, but in the same movie,
how
we'll
could this go wrong?
That was the lesser of, like, the two Sandra Bullock evils last year. I think that one was All About Steve or whatever, which is, like, the word.
All About Steve. Yeah. That it put women's rights back, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm. She accepted a Razzie, though, so props to Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, because that movie was, like, it was about, like, some girl who was really clumsy and, like, really, like, awkward.
Yeah, stalker.
She falls in love with, like, a reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, she stalks the shit out of some dude to the point where she's, like, crazy. She's like, if you don't love me, I'll kill myself. And he's like, okay.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. So, enough Sandra Bullock movies, but,
yeah, seriously.
Also coming out this week, we have Futurama Volume 5, which is the Comedy Central episodes. So the fifth season, I think, or sixth season or something like that. Actually, it's also the first time that Futurama is on Blu-ray, so.
Ooh,
that's cool.
Exciting. Yeah.
Probably another one that Chris is excited about, I'm sure. Step Up 3 on DVD this week.
Oh, finally.
I forgot what happens when they stood up to the school.
Chris,
or was that Stomp the Yard? I always forget.
They stepped up to the streets in the second one, Chris. And then there's like, You Got Served and Stomp the Yard and Drumline.
They're all the same movie. Don't worry about it. Okay. They know it, too.
I don't think... How is this going to play without 3D? Because that's like the whole point of this movie. That people...
Oh, wait,
people,
is that the one on the commercial?
Like the guy
yeah,
was like,
I was like, 3D.
Head spinning in 3D. That's just gonna be boring 2D. I don't want to watch that.
Who would ever watch a movie in 2D?
Who knows? Crazy people.
Seriously.
So let's see. Also out this week, we have Caprica Season 1.5. Sci-fi's crazy season numbering. I don't even know what that is. That show's canceled, too.
Nobody so does.
They want you to really alphabetize your library.
It's like season...
Here you will see season 1, 1.5, 2, and 3.5.
What happened to 2.5?
I need to file a claim with eBay because I was scammed.
You poor, poor nerd. Okay. And then also coming out this week, we had the aforementioned by Chris, Devil.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah.
So that'll be out when? And on in May for Netflix?
Probably.
Damn it. HBO it is.
You said that wasn't bad, right, Chris?
It was surprisingly okay. Like, it was... I was expecting, like, steaming pile of elevator shit, but this is just, like, comical because we just...
Surprisingly okay. Like,
it was surprising because, like, no one really booed. No one really cheered. It just, like... You're watching, like, an experimental film going on. You're just like... You don't know where to go. You're just like, It's more like that story. It's like, where were you when Devil came out? You didn't care if you saw it or not, but where were you when Devil came out?
It's a historic moment.
I was with my best girl.
I saw it broadcast on the local TV store window.
I put my ear up against a movie theater door and just listened. Like one of those old-fashioned radio broadcasts.
The cold wind whistling through the streets.
I mean,
time
I
seems
thought...
to stand still.
I thought M. Night Shyamalan, like, did well as a director. He should never touch a script.
He didn't direct The Devil,
he
though,
never...
Chris.
No, he only, like, came up with the story.
Was,
he didn't even write the screenplay.
From the mind of M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, well.
From the...
Whatever he...
Dungy cesspool that is the mind of his imagination.
Yep. And then...
Oh, did... Okay. It's more that, and he'll be trying to like come back from like whatever from like the last 8 movies he made.
Well, there's more Night Chronicles coming up, Chris. So,
hell's yeah,
including like the supposed Unbreakable 2, but like being reworked. So, last thing coming out this week, it's a big one: Mega Shark versus Krakosaurus.
That's a real movie.
It is. And guess who's starring in this movie?
Wait, hold on. So I guess the Mega Shark defeats the giant octopus.
What? That's kind of... I might have to watch this just to like figure that out, because at the end of Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, they both get frozen again in the iceberg.
Oh, man.
So I don't know how...
Because I was going to say, like, it's not Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus versus, like... What was this? Like, Hypno... Drone?
Krakosaurus.
Okay. Krakosaurus. Hmm.
Right, yeah. So guess who stars in this movie?
Oh boy,
washed up '90s sitcom star.
Oh,
Jerry Seinfeld.
It's Carlton, isn't it?
Huh?
Alfonso Rivera?
Nope. Close though.
Uncle Phil?
Nope. It's actually Jaleel White, aka Steve Urkel.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Urkel. You're kidding?
No, I'm not.
Oh man. Oh, man. Okay. Anyone listening to this podcast, I urge you, donate one of your Christmas presents to Jaleel White because he needs it more than you do. Okay? Make his holidays happy. And just everyone send him a little something because clearly he needs money and he needs to know that people remember him for the good times. Okay? So that's just my little Christmas cheer message to all of our listeners.
Oh, guys,
help him out.
Guys, the tagline for this movie, whoever wins, we lose. That's original.
Yeah, wow. I remember that being like a tagline from like World War I.
And this is Predator.
And yeah, EVP. The tagline should be just like him unfreezing them and then, did I do that? With a question mark.
Also, apparently Crocosaurus beat Giant Gator.
Well, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a Crocosaurus. I mean, that's two things. The gator's just big.
And the Mega Shark is mega.
Yeah, well, he's clearly. I mean, the octopus was just giant. Like, okay. It's like big octopus. Like Mega Shark.
The shark, like, jumped out of the air. Like, I think the shark destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge and then ate a plane out of midair.
It did. It did, actually.
The octopus, like, just took on an oil rig.
I wonder if, like, Aggro Aardvark and, like, other borderline Mega Man-sounding villains will make their way into future installments.
Where's Crazy Kwanger?
Right? Or, like, Evil. Crazy with a K, Koala.
Evil Echidna.
Cyber Chinchilla.
That should definitely be, like, the next trend, just, like, making, like, cute animals. Just, like, horribly horrible monsters.
Techno
Hyper Hamster.
Oh, God. This is going to happen,
giant
too, you know.
Giant gerbil.
I'm waiting.
It's like the South Park episode with the guinea pigs.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's terrible. That was such a good episode.
It was. One of their awesome three-parters, or two-parters, whatever it was.
Yeah. South Park never fails to please. Even for their worst strikeouts, they always come back strong, so.
Yep.
Can all be thankful for that this holiday season.
Okay, so that is going to do it for New Year's Sound Up, so why don't you stop wasting any more time, and let's get right into the 5th Annual Kick-Ass Awards.
Da-da. It's the award show of the century.
The only awards that count.
Brought to you by Milwaukee's Best Light.
Beast Lit. I'm not feeling.
Oh, I just figured it was a low tier sponsor that might hear this.
PBR.
Give us some swag. Pabst, that's prestigious. That's been around a while.
Apparently, it costs like $1,000 in Japan.
What?
I guess
you know.
Trying to sell it as like high end beer in Japan.
We really bummed them silly back in the 50s, but that's still no excuse. God damn. You know what we should do then? Let's just buy, like, cases of Pabst and just go to Japan and open, like, a fucking street vending thing.
Yes.
A little hot dog cart.
A lemonade stand, but for Pabst.
We'll make all of our money back. It'll be insane.
It would.
So anyway, the Kick-Ass
yes.
Awards.
Enough fictional sponsors.
Yes.
So we have a bunch of awards that we created celebrating the best and worst and just what we thought was hilarious movies of 2010. Of course, our big awards are the Ass Kicker of the Year and also the Everything Action Movie of the Year. We'll get those a little bit later, but Joe, you want to kick us off with our first award?
Now presenting, for Best Soundtrack, The Insatiable Joe Zagami. Thank you.
Yeah!
Thank you. Every millennium, a film comes around with the... No, I'm fucking around. Best soundtrack. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
And the crowd goes wild. Here to accept on behalf of Scott Pilgrim is Zach with the next award.
Okay.
Or, he couldn't be here, but we couldn't afford him to be live via satellite either.
It's
so
Beck.
Lower your expectations.
We got Beck.
We kidnapped him.
He's probably not busy. He would have done it if we asked nicely.
Oh shit, he changed to an eagle and flew off. So, on the same sort of page as that best soundtrack, we also have best score. So we have Inception, which is by Hans Zimmer. We have The Social Network, which was by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And we have Tron Legacy, which was by Daft Punk. And so the winner of that one is the Tron Legacy soundtrack by Daft Punk. I probably listened to it like at least 50 times over the past week. Especially the track D-Rez. Definitely check that out. It's probably up on the Kick-Ass Awards post that's going up, so definitely check that out. So, Chris, what is your next award?
The next award is Best Cameo in a movie. We have Daft Punk, Bruce and Arnold from The Expendables, and we have Thomas Jane and Clifton Collins Jr.
From Scott
Pilgrim vs. the World. And we awarded the best cameo to Bruce and Arnold.
Yes. Like...
Well, you haven't heard since like last summer, but you know, they kind of
like three of the greatest action heroes in the same scene. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't do anything explosive or like they didn't kill anybody.
Explosive dialogue, Chris.
Yeah, that was explosive dialogue. What's his problem?
He wants to be president.
Kill to my friend here. He loves to play in the jungle.
Well, Bruce Willis.
Like, you guys are going to suck each other's dicks? Like, easy, Bruce. God damn.
You fuck with me.
I was married to Dean Moore once.
Yes, that was awesome.
It was pretty much the formation of Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, really.
The prophecies were correct. The prophecy that was created at the start of Planet Hollywood. That's something they did with a line for an action movie.
All right, so up next, we have the prestigious Best Exaggeration of Real Life Events Award. This award goes to a film that features many things that are at least 15 times the size of the Chrysler Building. At least, it's like 30 Chrysler Buildings.
It is.
Okay?
It's like a missile, the size of the Chrysler Building.
Exactly. It's like several missiles the size of the Chrysler Building. And we, of course, are talking about... Ha-ha! Unstoppable.
You crazy kid.
Ha-ha! Old man.
Yeah. I don't know if... Are you guys aware of, like, the real-life events that were behind Unstoppable?
Oh, absolutely not.
Where, like, the train... That's all I can think of. I think it was maybe going 20 miles an hour or something like that. And they just, like, drove a truck up the side of it and jumped out and stopped it.
God damn it. But, it's like when Michael McDonald gets steamrolled in the first Austin Powers. No! Stop! Move out of the way! No!
Yeah, there was no, like, crazy running across the train and, like, dodging turns and, like, chasing down the train and, like, trains blowing up cars and flipping police cars.
Or witty banter between Denzel Washington.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I apologize. Never mind. There could have been banter. Anything's possible. I'll suspend disbelief.
So, our next award goes to one of my favorite cliches in movies. Probably one of you guys, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the best titular line.
Titular.
Yes. This is when you're watching a movie and they actually say the name of the movie in the movie. And it's like,
hey pal,
yes.
I'm a Family Guy.
So, after much deliberation, we have decided to give this one to Faster. Which, do you guys recall the line from that that had Faster in it?
Is he as fast as you? He's Faster.
Boom! I wanted to stand up and cheer, but I didn't.
I know.
All right, in the theater, I said, and like, no one yeah. booed me. No one just, like, commented. They just understood, like, that happened.
I supported your decision to go, and point it out to the entire theater.
That's the name of the movie!
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! It's on!
So, Chris, what is our next movie? I mean, next award.
The next award goes to the best use of 3D, since 3D's been reinvented by Avatar. So, it's brought back the whole phenomenon making blurry film.
Mm-hmm. I know you love 3D, Chris, so that's why you're presenting this award. I
love 3D. So, it was a tough category, because it was against Jackass 3D, How to Train Your Dragon, Despicable Me, and Toy Story 3, and Tron Legacy. Now, two of those movies weren't really meant to be in 3D, I'm going to say. Tron Legacy, like, I'm going to say, didn't need to be 3D, but because it's just a moneymaker machine, they demanded it to be.
3D was pretty great in Tron, though.
Okay, I admit, like, because it's a cybernetic world, Cyber world.
Toy Story 3 definitely did not need any 3D.
Despicable Me? Anybody?
No, it was pretty good 3D, but I could have lived it. Either way, it could have gone either way.
Alright. Anyway, let's just get to the point. I think we all voted that Jackass 3D. Is it up? I know, it's a surprise.
Yes.
Well, not only because the naming convention works. Jackass 3D. It's the third movie in the series, and it's three-dimensional. No other movie you see as a group of strangers come together to watch a common cinema film. It is a steep and fecal matter, like all this crazy excrement fly in 3D effect and sicken next row neighbor. Like, I have never experienced that in a movie. Not even horror movies. You know, I like Saw. No one actually gags. In Jackass 3D, you will see real torture of, like, the human soul, basically. Because you can't. I don't know why, but me and Brian went to go see Jackass 3D. Someone had the bright idea to bring their fucking kids.
Yes.
And, like, changed them.
God bless America.
There's always one idiot. Dude, I saw. When I saw Team America World Police in the theater, there was a guy who brought his, like, 5-year-old son and apparently his son's, like, birthday party full of friends to see Team America because he thought it was a fucking, like, Thunderbirds movie. So, by the time they first sang the America, fuck yeah, like, he was like, oh shit. Like,
and then the puppets had sex.
Yeah, well, luckily he wasn't there for that. But, goddamn, there's always one idiot.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, why don't you give us our next award?
Speaking of best realistic use of computers...
of course you were.
Yes. This could have gone to a lot of things. Mainly any film in which a computer or the internets were featured. However, it's only appropriate that given the subject matter and it's, I guess, how integral it is to the plot of the movie, we gave this one to The Social Network. Yes. Starring not Michael Cera. And Justin Timberlands.
Yep. Correct on both of those, Joe.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and Social Network, like, actual programming screens and, like, actual, like, computer screens in that movie. It's a novel concept.
And based on something that you can tangibly see the progress of over time with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
As featured in The Social Network.
Yes, it wasn't just, like, crazy, like, Hollywood... This is a computer screen.
We need to hack into the mainframe.
He's hacking the internet. Which one?
There's a firewall. There's a firewall on my CD drive. Do you have the disc? I do.
The ways that define how network programming and programming in general does not work was definitely Live Free or Die Hard and Transformers, where like they used Morse code from an old 1980s computer to a sophisticated... like supercomputer in the government, the U.S. government.
I think you're forgetting the cinematic gem that is Firewall.
Oh God!
Where
first of all,
Indiana Jones working
like
a router.
Harrison Ford is like the country's greatest like networking and security expert.
He's too old to even have like the high score for like Pong. Mm-hmm. You know?
And also he scans like computer screens using an iPod and like a scanner.
God damn it.
And of course Independence Day.
ID4. Yep. Side note about Independence Day, those action figures, a lot of them came with like a hard disk.
Oh my god, yes.
With like data on it. That like exploded my friend Matthew's computer. He brought it over to his house and like I didn't have
it. It was the virus.
No, it wasn't even a virus. It just like it broke. It like disintegrated in his drive because it was made of like aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the cheapest thing. His dad got so pissed. So, thank you, Korean toy makers. To this day, I'll never know what was on that disc.
It's probably like the secret of life.
It probably was. Fuck. It's my luck.
So, our next award is the... can someone else do... I can't do a Boston accent.
The Wicked Awesome Award for the best fucking movie.
Sort of like Elmer Fuddy, but that's pretty good, Joe.
It's rabbit season.
Yeah.
It's a fucking wicked ass award.
And it goes to, of course, The Town.
Surprise!
The best Boston movie of the year.
The best, most non-queer movie of the season.
No.
What is it with, like, Boston movies? Every 4 years, there has to be some sort of Boston-related movie.
Because Ben Affleck makes a Boston movie every 4 years.
Terrible.
Well, like, The Departed brought, like, the Boston community together to, like, yeah!
We're the fucking best.
Yeah.
Tessie.
And then a few years pass. I'm trying to think, before that, what was the next-esque movie?
Like, there's another Boston movie this year?
No. It was usually a pattern, because, like, a few years ago, it was The Departed, and then...
It's Gone Baby Gone.
Before that. Oh, yeah. Golly, Jesus.
Real throwback is, like, Mystic River, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great movie, and I can forgive the fact that Sean Penn is in it.
Actually, quick side note, because I was thinking about The Town, and John Hamm's in it. That was, like, the weirdest cameo ever at the end of A-Team. Like, John Hamm just shows up randomly.
As, like... Random agent number one.
Yeah.
I was like, who is this handsome gentleman?
Oh.
Hello, Mr. Dreyfer.
Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, it's John Hamm. That's weird.
He's like, I'm on to you, fag. So, like, he doesn't even do anything. He just, like, insults them and, like, looks at them.
God bless
like,
you guys.
Oh, it's a white man in a suit. We should automatically be distrustful of him. He must be bad. He's just too dashing.
He is.
To be good.
He's the bad guy of 18-2.
I hope so.
Alright, so, Chris, what is our next award?
The next award is the most mind-fucked movie of the year. Any takers, huh? What do you think would it be? The word mind is... Yeah, it's right. Inception! It's not much of a, I mean, like, there really is no other movie like it, mm-hmm. except for, like, a few animes and maybe, what's that other movie? I mean, like, yeah, I think, you see, it's one of those movies where you have to think hard. There's no, like, imitators at the time. Probably next year, I'm probably going to see, like, Inception-esque movies soon. But
I'm still curious to see what the direct-to-DVD, like, knockoff of Inception
Yeah, where was
is.
The Asylum movie?
I know. What the hell?
I want to see the porn version of Inception. I'm just waiting for that.
Oh, no, Insertion?
No.
Boom, roasted.
Knuckles Deep, the movie.
If that's not already a porn, I feel like I deserve some money from that.
Patent pending.
Yeah, seriously.
Everything action wants to
Copyright 2010, everything action.
So, yeah, the movie, like, me and Joe, we talked about it over the summer, how we saw it. And we walked away pretty much dazed. And so did the rest of the audience.
We
had a slight advantage.
Two episodes this summer about Inception from the Everything Action cast.
I also kind of wanted to buy a dreidel when it was all over. But that's just me.
I remember, like, that lucid dreaming, like, that reinforced the idea of, like, you're in control of your dreams. Dream what you want to dream. Like, okay. I went to sleep that night, and it was just horrible. Everything was too realistic.
Just being, like, eaten alive by, like, cuddly bunnies or something. They're like, no! No! This is not how it was supposed to be.
You wish it was more like Sucker Punch or something, Chris, where it's like, you are in control of this world.
No, I wanted to be like Nightmare Street 4, Dream Warriors. Yes.
The Dream Warriors!
Where you become a wizard.
Yeah, you become a wizard.
Or you,
see what I mean? Like, if you're really good at athletics, you get like a fucking like, wasn't one kid like a runner?
Yeah, the black kid was like, I can run fast or something. Or like, I'm super strong. And then like, the other girl was like, I can flip for some reason. She can also jump at the people, like pull people in. The main girl.
See, all that seems terrible.
Okay.
But, Inception.
Yeah, that's bad. Yes.
Great mindfuck. I mean, we talked about, if you haven't seen it by now, obviously something happened and Incepted it.
And it gave us a great term to say when we were confused, you know, when something happens that you don't quite understand.
Incepted.
Where it used to be basketballs, did I just fart? Now it's been replaced by, was I just incepted? Or like, I think I got incepted last night. Like, I don't know, my computer just got incepted.
Yep.
Remember screaming at cars in the parking lot after leaving the movie, like, Inception!
Yeah. Ah, accepted!
I believe it also won best memes and best internet-related material at our technical awards the other day.
Well, Kalu Kalay.
Like, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, Inception Mouse and, like, the exhibit. Yo, I heard you like dreams, so we put a dream in a dream.
Yo, dog, I heard you like Batman, so we shot your parents.
Or, like, there was a Strut and Leo.
Yeah. Not bad.
And, like amazing just, like, trailer remixes. Like, they throw, like, the Inception thing and, like, just great movies and no reason to be Inception.
Yeah.
Like Ghost Dog.
Oh, God. What was the first really good one that they did? I forget what it was, but I saw it and I absolutely loved it.
There's a Toy Story 3 one that was awesome.
Yeah, Toy Story, that might have been it, actually.
I did like Dora the Explorer one. Excepciones.
Yeah, it's like a whole new like genre, just like Inception mashups.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
So, Joe, what's our next award?
Our next award, I'm very happy to have the honor of presenting. It's the Best Erasing of Past Movies Award, and this award has been, I won't say specially created for, but it was pretty obvious what we were going to go with from the start. In this case, this award, the Best Erasing of Past Movies Award, has to go to Robert Rodriguez's Predators for pretending that Predator 2 did not fucking happen. What the shit?
Yes.
Okay, Predator 2 wasn't that bad of a movie, in my opinion. Sure, Danny Glover had no right to be in that movie, and sure, most of it didn't make any goddamn sense.
And Gary Busey was running around with, like, an ice gun.
You're absolutely right on that one, Zach. He was running around with an ice gun. But it still happened,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And you know what? Predators, you weren't that good. I said it.
Whoa.
What the fuck were those angry aardvark things that you had chasing everyone? What the shit was that about? We want to see predators. We don't want to see little armored armadillos chasing people around, okay? And crazy Lawrence Fishburne living in like a burnt down Chevy Nova or whatever he had. Come on.
That didn't go in the direction I was expecting it to go, Joe.
Man, I don't know. I was not a fan of Predators. That's just me. I like the fact that the Predators, like, they took some stuff from the lore or whatever, like the comics and, like, you know, the novels and stuff.
Yep.
Where, like, there are different Predators, you know? Like, they don't all just look like that one Predator from the first movie. There are ones that have, like, you know, red steins and shit like that. And I forget what they're called again. Like, they all have, like, different ranks and shit like that. So, like, that's cool. Don't get me wrong. You included that. But where's everything else? Like, come on. Come on, man.
Or the Predator.
First of all, the thing that's the dead giveaway for how much ass this movie's going to suck right from the get-go is the fact that the first thing we see is just a bunch of fucking random, like, ethnic stereotypes falling from the sky. And it's like, oh boy, well, this can only get worse. And boy, does it. So thank you, Predators.
I thought it was,
thank you
I thought
very
it was
much.
Kind of awesome, though, where it's like, Agent Brown, like, slams the ground. It's like, Predators! Late title card.
Yeah, but that was like the last cool thing that happened.
That was wow. The first and last cool thing.
I was excited when I saw the trailer for that movie. The one where, like, Adrian Brody has, like, the one, like, triangular laser sight on him, and then two, then three, and then, like, 20 appear on him. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. Never even made the final cut.
Nope.
And there's, like, two action sequences that involve predators.
Yep.
So, no thanks. I will take Predator 2 over Predators any day. As a matter of fact, I will take Alien vs. Predator over Predator 2. Or, I'm sorry, over Predators any day.
Strong words, Joe.
Strong words from a strong man, motherfucker. That's what I'm talking about.
What about Alien vs. Predator Rec?
I'd take that over it just for the hospital scene.
I did like that. I like that movie more than the first original version of Alien vs. Predator.
Yep.
Fuck Predators.
All right, so moving on from that anger.
God damn.
We're ushering Joe off the stage.
Yeah, really. Get the rodeo clown to come out.
God damn it. Fuck you, player Joe.
This is where we should have, like, the playoff music.
Da, 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 you know? Da, da, da,
no, I'm not done, damn it. I have something to say.
Is it Night of the Apollo?
Anyway, our next award is the most horrifying moment of the year, which goes to Toy Story 3. And the scene is when the entire Toy Story gang almost gets burned alive in a fucking incinerator.
And rightfully so. What the hell? That was one of the most depressing sequences in a movie that I've ever seen.
It's just like, all right, guys, let's just hold hands and die together.
I think I said this, like, on the last podcast or whatever, but I wasn't that sad during Schindler's List.
I know.
You know, like, goddamn. I was like, oh, no. Is this really the end?
It's like, it was like literally the Toy Story gang was, like, descending into hell.
They were descending into hell, and you know what? They were facing death with dignity.
They were. As a family.
Proud and unified.
And you know what? Tears were falling.
Absolutely.
I remember, like, people crying in the movie theater.
Well, those are people that don't actually have problems of their own to deal with in their life.
They're just, like, drinking in the movie theater, like, lucky them. They,
yeah, I wish I'd fall into a fire.
Burn, you fucking toys.
Get a job. You just, like, throw a 40 at the screen.
My toys don't come alive, so this movie isn't true at all.
This is all Andy's fault, that son of a bitch. Just gonna start murdering Andy's in the phone book now at random.
They'll call him the phone book killer.
The Toy Story killer has struck again.
Alright, so, Chris.
It just worked out this way, too.
So, I think someone planned this.
It's completely random, Chris.
Right. So, the best... If you had to pick a movie to describe how well a country is to like, accepting of others, none perfect should there ever be a mix of kung fu and diversity and together blended in this wonderful thing called The Karate Kid. Even though the title makes no sense and the people behind it are embarrassing to its culture. For example, why have Jackie Chan teach Kung Fu to a black kid and then call it the Karate Kid, and then blatantly they say Kung Fu like a bajillion times? Why have a group full of angry Asian kids who, like, are taught Kung Fu and the ways of its peacefulness, but then beat the shit out of this black kid because it's like his kung fu is better or worse. It doesn't make any sense. Like, but it, they need to make it. It's made. I don't know. There's so many things wrong with this movie that I hate but love. You know, I like the idea of the Karate Kid movie. The story arc is really good, but everything else was just embarrassing. I remember just staring at FYE and watching the movie and just screaming at it and arguing with people as they passed.
So. Have you said the name of the award yet or anything, Chris?
No, it's just called the Best Commercial of China.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, because the movie pretty much exists just like because China like paid for like a tourism commercial or something.
You come visit glorious nation of China.
You can run a Great Wall.
You can.
We're finally letting black people in.
Okay.
That's basically the message they're trying to send.
I didn't pay attention to it so well, so like I couldn't figure out why like the mom got a job in China. What company just seemed perfect to shoehorn a person to China?
Would it be wrong of me to say Popeyes? Because that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well,
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Is it more believable than like the mom from like the first one who like moves to California to get a job as like a computer programmer and she ends up as a waitress?
Wait, that happens?
Yeah, she moves to California because she's like, I'm gonna get a job as a computer programmer or something. Or like,
that's where they computers. Make computers.
Yeah.
In California.
It's like, oh, I'm working at a waitress. I'm working as a waitress now for some reason. No one mentions computers ever again.
Because I don't think they mention the mom in the second movie, do they? They just kind of like, Miyagi, take care of my son. I'm going to be a bad parent. Bye.
Miyagi, raise my son. I'll be on this pole if you need me.
Oh, man. So, yeah, visit glorious China. is the
we're
message
getting,
of Karate Kid.
China, parentheses, we're getting better.
There's great scenery.
Exactly.
Please, don't steal our women folk, like this black kid did.
Please, take some daughters home with you. We've got more than we know what to do with. Sell them in gift shops.
If you're lucky, Jackie Chan will teach you kung fu.
Just give them out in boxes of cereal. I got a baby. And it looks hungry.
This is the second movie Jackie Chan has to teach a non-Asian kid fucking kung fu. He did this in the Forbidden Kingdom, and now he's doing it to this kid.
He could save himself with Rush Hour 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he will. So now that we've been played off stage, the next award is for the best team of covert operatives and or mercenaries.
That was definitely a theme of last year, of this past year.
Oh, without a doubt. And we had some pretty heavy hitters in pretty heavy hitting nominees in this category to choose from. We had the losers. We had the team from Red. Yes, that was a movie. the A-Team, which do they really need an introduction? And of course,
B-Team.
And of course, the Expendables. So, kind of a no-brainer here. But the award for best team of covert operatives and/or mercenaries and/or Expendables goes to the Expendables. But if I can pull a Kanye West moment here, I will say, no offense, but A-Team was the hottest movie ever. So. Well done, Expendables. You kicked ass, but A-Team gave you a run for your money,
yep.
And I want to see more from both franchises sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Merger.
Merger. Well, A-Team versus the Expendables. That's new.
Oh, God.
The A-Expendables.
I think I'd have to kill myself after that movie because my life would never get better than that moment.
And then both teams had to fight a giant shark, a mega shark.
Yes. Oh, yes. We're making this.
And then aliens come.
They should just do that. Just call it, like, Batshit the Movie. Just have, like, everything ever.
Do the Sucker Punch.
Just do the Ultimate Showdown, the movie.
Yeah. Yes.
It could happen. So what's next?
So our next award is the Just Getting to the Good Part Award, and it actually goes to Robin Hood. Because I think it pretty much summed it up with the movie ends literally with a title card that says, "And so the legend begins."
Cop out.
Like there's all this like bullshit about this like crusades and like they're like there's a conspiracy against King John and shit, and then it's like, it ends, like, the last 3 seconds is, like, all the Robin Hood stuff you want, like, Robin Hood, like, shooting arrow with, like, a wanted sign, like, insured forest with merry men, and, like, Sheriff Nottingham's, like, all pissed off, and King John's all pissed off, and it's just like, and so the legend begins. We're not going to show you anything, but you know what happened. It's like,
insert VHS of the Kevin Costner version.
Everything I do!
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's like, why did I just watch like this random 2 hours of not Robin Hood?
The world may never
tricked.
So, Chris, what is our next award?
Next award's up is the best comic book movie. So, we decided what truly fits with a good adaptation. It was hard. It was a really hard toss-up because there were so many good comic book movies that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
We had to decide what really followed the main points of the comic, what made it like actually seem like original, even though it was an adaptation, but didn't stray too far from like the original concept. So, with that said, we decided Scott Pilgrim vs. the World would be the winner of this year's best comic book movie. Again, it had to beat Iron Man 2, but because Iron Man 2 wasn't, we thought, really faithful to what Iron Man's greatest demons were, besides like arguments with his best friend and like his love life and possibly another like scientist, like it's alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
His Iron Man's weakness was alcoholism, or like
need the sauce,
or like liver disease, something that involved him and booze.
They kind of cut that a little bit.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah, that party sequence.
Well, actually, they replaced like alcoholism with like, I have a degenerative disease because of my core.
Yeah, but that made him drunk. Gladium. That just made him reckless.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was technovirus. That was kind of weird.
His core was corrupting him.
I mean, Kick-Ass was pretty close, yeah. But... I mean... Aren't they, like, writing a Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah, I think the first issue might be out or something, or, like, it's coming out.
Hmm. It's too soon to tell. It's such an early adaptation. But Scott Pilgrim, like, it took 6 years to make. They did it pretty well, I think, to produce a whole movie based on the first two books.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, eventually, like, you know, the writer, the creator, he finished it as the movie came out. So you had, like, it still followed the overall story, but, like, it was presented well. I mean, it was a really underrated movie. The movie's performing as well as, like, Tron, I think, right now.
Probably worse,
Jesus.
Yeah. Also, it actually felt like a comic book, too.
Yeah, the visual effects, the feel, mm-hmm. the pacing, very comic book feel. Iron Man 2, I felt like you had to, like, really pay attention to, like, certain points to get, like, why things are kind of happening. Like, okay, you, if you didn't see the first movie, you're not going to get, like, some characters, I think. And even, like, they switched the...
If you didn't see the first movie, you're fucked with the whole concept of the arc reactor.
True. But, like, even that, like, they change out Rhodey, and if you didn't know, like, that's a different black man.
Terrence Howard turned into Don Cheadle.
He evolved.
My God, he's getting darker. He's like Hulk. Oh, he gets stronger the angrier he gets.
So, I mean, next year we're probably going to get a better run with, like, a new Batman movie, possibly a Spider-Man movie.
Green Lantern.
Maybe a Green Lantern.
Or Captain America.
Well, that Batman's not going to be next year, gang. That's going to be 2012. But that's going to be a clusterfuck at the box office. Good Lord.
Who do I give my money to?
Seriously, the Avengers movie? Goddamn. You got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be all dicks and no holes.
Oh, man.
I've been to those parties.
Story of my life, bro.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Zing.
So, Joe, do you want to do the next award?
I don't know, do I? Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
Biggest plot holes. And boy golly, there were a bunch of them. But this award goes to Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Honestly, the fact that this movie was made is a plot hole, in my opinion. But yeah, this movie is just rife with gaps. And like, wait, huh? Or wait, why is he doing that? Or how do they know each other? So, other than the soundbite of Liam Neeson saying, "Release the Kraken," not much going on with Clash of the Titans.
I think my favorite plot hole was like near the beginning, like Sam Worthington's family like dies, and the boat like so their boat is like hit by I don't know,
Technocobra.
God's like the God's fury or something. I don't know. The Kraken possibly.
Yes.
I think it was just like a thunderstorm that like Hades did or something because he was pissed off. Or Zeus was pissed off or something, I don't know. But so the boats are sinking. It's sinking upside down. So there's a pocket of air where the family sit like swimming in as it's going down. They can swim out the bottom of the boat and fucking escape. But like Sam Worthington is the only one who like escapes after the boat hits the bottom of the ocean and stays there and everyone drowns. There's like they have like 5 minutes to escape the like 5-10 minutes to escape the boat. And it's like, oh, we're drowning. In this air bubble. In this upside down
Zounds.
Boat.
Zounds. Avenge us.
Avenge me! And then there's like also there's like the whole plot of like the gods need the humans for power, but the humans are going to like, revolt. And then like but then the gods are going to help the humans. And it's just like, make up your mind.
We've pretty much established that this movie is a block of Swiss cheese when it comes to plot holes.
Yep.
Good lord.
So, slightly happier award for our next one. It's the Warm Dark Cold Hearts Award.
Aww.
And there's a bunch of, like, fantastic anime movies this year. We had How to Train Your Dragon, Despicable Me, others probably that I can't think of right now, but the winner is...
and such.
And such. Et cetera. But the clear winner is obviously Toy Story 3.
Yay! Aww.
God damn that ending.
Yeah, really.
It was like up times five. I said there was like no miscarriages in Toy Story 3, but...
God bless it. It was heartwarming, though.
It's one of those movies where... You can't show to like too young of a child because I think that's like a life lesson you explain all day the next following nights.
Yeah. Daddy, why does God hate us?
do my toys have souls?
Absolutely not. Only Christians have souls, Billy. It's like, oh, thanks, Dad. Oh man. Yes.
All right, so Chris, what is our next award?
The next award is the best use of time travel device in a movie. So, since Back to the Future has been made, it's really not many movies that have...
There's been no time travel since then.
No. Oh, we can think of one.
I'm going to say the only movie that came out this year that was just, like, the best use of time travel, I think, besides maybe The Lake House in the past few years.
Okay. Get out.
Yes.
I just saw that time machine.
That is absurd, Chris.
What?
How dare you? How rude.
Besmirch the name of The Lake House.
All right, so, Hopped Up Time Machine. I mean, the premise of it was just, like, I don't know. They came out with the title, then they just came out like they developed the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It also could have dropped in the best titular.
Yes, I think it was a runner up in the.
That was a runner up.
Strong runner up.
Looks like a hot tub time
machine. Some kind of hot tub time machine.
I don't know. I think when it's planned, it's not as exciting.
Yeah.
But when it happens to be in the title, like, wow. That's like in The Hangover. They never say, we have a hangover.
This is such a bad hangover.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, it's pretty much, this movie was one of my favorite comedies to watch for like months, ever since it came out on DVD. And it's just a good, like, you know, what would you do with a time machine? Now, what would you do if it was a hot tub?
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
Motley Lou.
Very, very underrated. I don't think it got its props.
It got Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue stuck in my head for like a month.
Yeah.
All right, so Joe, presenting our next award.
Oh, this is kind of appropriate, actually, given the proximity of our last podcast. The next award is the That's Enough, Tim Burton Award, which goes to a movie by Tim Burton that makes us say, "That's enough, Tim Burton," usually followed by some other random obscenities. This year, the That's Enough, Tim Burton Award goes to Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
Breakdancing giant, like breakdancing Mad Hatter, I think is all you need to say.
The man is out of control.
He is.
And Disney has far too much money for its own good.
I believe that that College Humor video pretty much summed it up.
Yes. Yes, it did. I don't really want to talk about Alice in Wonderland.
Don't you mean Alice in Underland?
Whoa. The only thing I wondered is why that movie was made.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, bizarre like, not remake, like, sequel sort of thing to, like, a movie that never existed. Or maybe, like, the animated movie from, like, the 40s.
That movie is the direct result of an unlimited budget, a bunch of yes men, and no, like, actual movie maker supervision.
Yeah. It's also part of, like, Tim Burton's, like, quest to, like, make everything, like, make every childhood book and movie dark.
Seriously.
Tim Burton-y.
It actually makes me kind of upset because Marilyn Manson was supposed to do, like, Phantasmagoria, which is going to be his, like, weird adaptation of the Lewis Carroll stories. But I guess Tim Burton, like, bought or killed or bought and then killed Marilyn Manson and it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying his would have been good. Don't get me wrong. It probably would have been just as bad. But good Lord. Just would have been different. Mm-hmm. That's all I really want.
All right, so our next category is the best buddy cops of the year. There's a couple strong contenders this year. We had Cop Out, which not as strong, but it was okay. You had Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan as the buddy cops. We had My Beloved Good Guys that got canceled, and I'm the only one who's like supporting that show on this podcast, but.
Was that on CBS?
Shut the fuck up, Chris.
Is that Blue Bloods?
It was on Fox, of course. They cancel everything. That was Bradley Whitford and Count Hanks as the buddy cops. But our pick, as everything action, was The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Woot.
I still need to see that. It's like, it's got this weird, like,
I know, it's haunting me.
You can only buy it right now. You can't rent it anywhere. You can't even rent it, like, on demand or anything. So,
you can't look at a poster without being charged.
Yeah, pretty much.
We noticed you looked at our poster. Please deposit 25 cents.
But I think Brian saw it and said it was pretty good, so. No one else saw it, right?
Nope.
Okay. But we're still giving it the award.
Yay!
Somehow. So, Chris, what is our next award?
The next award is one of my favorites, the M. Night Shyamalan What a Twist Award. Now, this goes out to awards
that have a twist.
What a twist. I got to, like, hold my balls while saying that.
Yeah.
All right. There weren't too many twisty movies that you didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
Devil. Was up there at one point, but then we decided that wasn't really a twist. That was just bad writing.
There's Book of Eli.
Book of Eli.
That was too blatantly obvious.
Inception was if Inception was just like a dream or not a dream, but then it was like a video game, and then it was like,
well, I think like
poem that was gonna be
the
fun.
Twist of Inception probably was like what happened to like Leonardo DiCaprio's wife.
Yeah, that would have been.
It's probably the twisty thing.
Twisty thing, I guess. So, speaking of Inception, Leo DiCaprio was also in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shutter Island.
Yes.
Who we believe, like, did create that sense of a twist. I saw this movie, like, once. I since someone ruined it for me, it did seem like, okay, I understand. Like, oh, that was kind of a twist. Oh, okay. So Shutter Island wins the M. Night Shyamalan with a twist. It's a twist, I think, more that M. Night Shyamalan did not win his own award.
Well, the only movie he made this year was fucking Last Airbender.
So a twist they didn't win this, I mean.
Oh, God.
There was no twist. That movie was just awful.
Didn't see it, though. Just a lot of bitching from the internet.
I saw it, and it was, like, every piece of dialogue was just, like, exposition explaining things. And it's the worst acting you've ever seen.
Speaking of awful acting, our next award...
Don't you mean greatest acting, Joe?
Well, debatably.
This man is the greatest living actor...
on the face of the planet.
It's an mystery, yes.
The Road to Recovery Award...
Mm-hmm.
goes out to someone that we admire very much at Everything Action. The impeccable, the charismatic, the golden god, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yes.
We love you, Nicolas Cage, and we want you to start making better movies, and you are on the road to that recovery.
Yes, so...
Okay.
And, like, end of 2009, probably... You could probably kind of, like, because I think we all saw it this year.
But coming back.
Bad Lieutenant, which was fucking amazing.
Yes.
And then Kick-Ass. He was doing it.
Ooh,
he was doing an awesome Adam West Batman impression. Yeah.
Yes.
Crazy, creepy
and
dad.
Furthermore.
Hello, chums. Welcome to our secret hideout.
Oh. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, and also kicking ass. Good.
Yes, he was
but then,
kicking ass.
He also had from all I've heard, a mediocre Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I didn't see that.
So
one.
I don't want to think about that.
Kind of two for three this year.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And then next year, sort of like 50-50, we have Season of the Witch, which looks... he looks very bored.
Yeah.
And then we also have Drive Angry, which looked grindhousey awesome.
Yes, and Ghost Rider 2 is on deck as well.
Directed
so.
By Neville Dean Taylor of Crank fame.
So you know it's going to be sexy, if nothing else.
It's like Crank 3, like, his head's on fire the entire time.
That's probably what they should just do. They should just pick it up there.
Like, Chev Chelios is Ghost Rider.
I'd be fine with that.
I would, too.
I really would be. And some other Nicolas Cage-related stuff. There, as has been a topic here on Everything Action, a lot of production... behind-the-scene type stuff is starting to surface about the epically fail-ridden Superman Lives movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, like, testing suit tests with, like, videos and pictures and all sorts of special effects stuff. It's really starting to come to the surface a little bit more. So check that out on
Actually,
a quasi-Nicolas Cage tangent.
Go to everythingaction.com and check out last week's news shotgun again. There's actually the video of the suit. Is up there.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And for better or for worse, it'll at least keep you entertained while you poop if you've got a smartphone. I know it did for me.
Mm-hmm. So also, I think a runner-up for the Road to Recovery Award, The Rock.
Yes. No more of that Tooth Fairy bullshit.
Yeah, Faster this year, Fast 5 next year. Who knows after that, but...
And then Fastest after that.
The Fastest.
The definite sequel to Faster, which we all know is coming.
Probably Rundown 2.
Yeah, hopefully. That wouldn't be bad. And who knows? Maybe even Superman. Dun, dun, dun.
So, someone far from the Road to Recovery for our next award. It's the Good Timing Award. It actually goes to Edge of Darkness, coming out well before Mel Gibson's insane meltdown this year. And I remember when that movie came out, everyone was like, this movie's okay, but like, and I'm like, it might be like the start of like Mel Gibson's comeback.
How wrong we were.
I know. So naive.
Hey, wasn't Mel Gibson this one like a Boston Cop or something?
Yeah, that was,
yes, he was.
That was the other Boston movie.
Yeah, that was the other Boston
movie.
Runner-up
for the wicked awesome.
Edge of Darkness.
Yeah, he's got, like, he actually does a pretty good Boston accent in that movie. But no one else has a Boston accent in that movie except him.
I'm going to come out and say it. Mel Gibson isn't a terrible actor. He's just human being, it seems like. So, you know, I could be a fan of him as the actor, but not a fan of him as the person.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like a George Clooney situation for me.
Yeah, you don't like George Clooney?
I don't care for George Clooney, Chris.
I don't care for him.
I don't care for him. Nor the pedestal on which he places himself on.
I love The Money Pit. That's my reaction to that, Joe.
Okay, fair enough. It's a good movie.
So, we're getting to our Big Four awards. These have been with us for 5 years. And the first one is the Steven Seagal Directed DVD Award, celebrating the best in directed DVD goodness. So, from Mr. Seagal this year, we actually had The Keeper, which was sort of his take on Man on Fire. I don't know if you guys did, I'm sure you guys didn't see that.
No, I saw Man on Fire, but not The Keeper.
It was
you're better off.
By Steven Seagal standards, like directed DVD standards, it was not that bad, but it was still bad. But our award actually is going to Dolph Lundgren is the Killing Machine.
Yay, Dolph.
Maybe just based on title alone, it should win.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
where was this character in The Expendables? I just want to know. It's like,
I don't know. He'll be back for the second one, though.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, but like by direct-to-DVD standards, not a bad movie. Like, Dolph Lundgren's kicking ass.
I'll have to check it out.
Some, like, an amazing kill with a dumbbell is, like, worth the price of admission alone, so.
Nice.
So, Chris, what is our next big award here?
It's the Lincoln Hawks Memorable Over the Top Award. Lincoln Hawk, of course, being Sylvester Stallone's character from Over the Top.
Yes, awards the movie that best exonerates like over the top ridiculousness.
Also, the best way to win back your son's love.
What was that?
The best way to win back your son's love.
Yes.
Yes.
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins.
And Brute Cologne.
Sweaty truckers, semi-legal, arm wrestling matches. Yeah. Anyway.
None of that applies to the movie, but basically just like the title, like the message of the title, Over the Top.
Over the Top ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't need to go an extra mile, but they did anyway. Mm-hmm. But they went over the
top. And we love them for it.
Yes.
This year, we award this honorable award to the A-Team for being the most over-top action sequences, I'm going to say. Like, just from the trailer to actually seeing it and then actually hearing back from people explaining to you, everything's over the top.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it when the plan came together.
Parachuting tanks, I think that's all you need to say about it.
Yeah, it's the A-Team, people.
Yep.
And it's the real A-Team, too. It's not based on the A-Team, no. This is the A-Team movie.
Mm-hmm. They love
it. They nailed it. What else can you say? They fucking nailed it. It feels like a big reinvented episode of the TV series.
Or a prequel to the TV series.
Yes.
All right, so down to our two big awards for the evening.
These are the big ones.
Yep. So Joe, kick us off with the first one.
The movie of the year. This award goes to the movie of the year.
Yes.
Last year?
That's what it implied, Joe.
I know. I was just going to let that, you know, simmer for a little bit with our listeners. Anyway, there were some very good movies this year,
mm-hmm.
especially for, you know, everything action standards. Because you know what? We're a little bit askew of the norm. We're not the stuffy Oscar movie bullshit crowd. A good movie is a good movie, and a good movie kicks ass. And there was a lot of ass-kicking happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, our undisputed heavyweight champion of movies this year is the pinnacle of the action film, Sylvester Stallone's The Motherfucking Expendables. Okay? This was the Kenny Powers of action movies. It is untouchable and immaculate in our book.
Mm-hmm.
Plot holes? Plenty. Crappy special effects? Frequently. Awkward dialogue? There. Homosexual undertones? Plenty. But you know what? It's our movie. This movie is the reason why there's an everything action, pretty much. It's our website, our dream, our vision personified.
If you liquefied our website and like put it into a blender and like made a movie out of the results, like it would be The Expendables.
It's like the leftover sheets that you have to burn after a really, really, really regrettable swingers party.
Mm-hmm.
But with action movies. That's The Expendables.
It doesn't sound very positive, Joe, but...
Well, it depends on who you were the night before. Very positive. Very positive. Mr. Stallone, if you're out there, thank you for making this movie. I know it took a very long time, but we're looking forward to more installments. And it's great that something like this was actually able to be done, and it wasn't just fanboy speculation. Well done, sir. Well done.
Remember this shit at Christmas!
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that brings us to our last award of the evening, and it goes to the ass kicker of the year. The character or characters that kicked the most ass and highest body counts, just exploded shit the best. And a bunch of strong nominees. We had, of course, Hit Girl from Kick-Ass, 12-Year-Old Girl, Swearing Like a Sailor, Decapitating People. We had Eli from The Book of Eli, which is Denzel Washington in badass mode, which you can't really beat that.
He was pretty badass, mm-hmm. And a lot of ass was kicked.
Especially those two fight scenes where it's like him just like destroying people with a machete.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary Oldman as a fucked up villain again, which is always fun to see.
Both those guys in like the modes you want to see them in.
Absolutely.
We also had Scott Pilgrim, which who would have thought Michael Cera would be a nominee for Ass Kicker of the Year, but it happened.
It took a lot of stuntmen
to play
Michael Cera.
Yes. We also had Arthur from Inception, which was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Probably his best moment was the zero-G fight scene in Inception. And he also had to like pretty much do everything else in the crazy zero-G world. And, of course, making his final appearance on television, Jack Bauer, which probably his most badass moment of this year was dressing in full body armor and, like, attacking a limo. And then, like, former President Charles Logan was just like, "It's Jack Bauer!" And, like pretty much shitting himself. You know? But it's going to be a sweep for The Expendables. As a whole. So you had Barney Ross, Stallone, the leader, who's faster than light, or like there's nothing faster. the only thing faster than him is light. That's what. Then you had Lee Christmas, who knife expert. Like I don't know, I lost count of how many times he killed someone with a knife.
There's a great frequency of blade-related deaths happening in this movie.
Yes. And you also had Yin Yang, who's Jet Li.
Yay.
God damn it.
He had to work twice as hard because he's small. And he also almost defeated Dolph Lundgren. You had Hail Caesar, who's Terry Crews, running in with his fucking amazing auto shotgun.
The auto shotgun of doom. And his nuclear warhead that never gets used.
I think every bullet had that or something.
No, absolutely not. That was a gaping fist-sized plot hole in the anus of this movie.
I thought they were just like explosive tips or something. Or he did say they were nuclear tips.
It's like a small really nuclear device.
Yeah. Okay. And, well... It's still, like, ripped to people to shreds, so...
Unquestionably.
And then you also had Gunna Gunner. Who switched back and forth, but eventually ended up on the good side again. Also blew apart a man with a grenade launcher.
He sure did.
Warning shot.
Little bit low.
What are you doing, Gunner? Hanging a pirate.
And then, was it Roadblock? Or that was G.I. Joe character. What was Randy Couture's character?
No, I don't know. I just called him Randy Couture the whole time.
I think it was Roadblock or something.
Something like that.
Oh, Toll Road.
Toll Road.
Yes.
Wow.
I thought he was going to sell me an exercise equipment.
And
you ready, princess?
And defeated a flaming Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The Texas Rattlesnake himself.
He did.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Superior wrestling skills by Randy Couture.
Absolutely.
So yeah, just that whole crew just like blowing up a small island nation.
Cuba.
And it was awesome.
And let's not forget Eric Roberts.
But he was not expendable though.
I know, but I'm just talking about if you want to talk about an ensemble cast.
Okay.
Good lord.
Mm-hmm.
And for a villain, he kicked some ass as well. But it was like shady business guy stuff.
Mm-hmm. All this runs because of me.
Too true. Eric Roberts, too true.
And the aforementioned Stone Cold as Pain.
So good.
And David Zayas as the crazy dictator guy.
A.K.A. Sergeant Batista.
Yes. We will kill this American disease! And you also had Minotauro Noguera in a small cameo.
Yeah, and Rogério Nogueira.
Yep.
The brothers, yes. The most, some of the scariest Brazilians in mixed martial arts.
Even scarier when they get their faces painted.
Absolutely. Then you really can't tell them apart.
Yep. And of course, Mickey Rourke, who gives his best supporting actor like role in like this crazy monologue about how he let that woman die on a bridge.
It's so scary how similar he looks in his role as Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
I think he's
basically the same guy.
I think he pretty much literally like walked across the street.
From like the lot, yeah, from set to set. All right, let's do this shit.
I love, like, have you guys heard, like, he was like, how much time are you going to get for rehearsal? And, like, Stone was like, 15 minutes. And he's like, okay.
That's awesome.
Well, I guess, I think it made you work around, like, 6 hours of rehearsal or something. And Stone was like, you have 15 minutes.
Stone's like, let's film this fucking movie. I got shit to do.
I guess they're running two.
I got some, what was the chemical Stallone was on that made him, like, look youthful again?
I don't know. Steroids?
Testosterone therapy? Yeah, he's doing testosterone replacement therapy.
Jesus.
It's totally legitimate.
He looks completely natural.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, he went to a, like, sports doctor who was like, let me write you a little script.
Yeah. Some Australian doctor.
Yeah, some Australian doctor. But I will say, you can inject steroids all day long, but unless you're putting in the work, nothing's going to happen, so... There's something to be said about that, so thank you, Sly, for inspiring, you know, the older folk everywhere, making men of all ages look bad.
Yeah, so clearly the Expendables, like, collectively, they kicked the most ass this year.
Absolutely.
And also blew up the most shit.
Without a doubt.
Like... I'm sure half the nation is, like, gone now. Whatever that country was that they went to. Velvet Day.
Whatever country they helped fix.
Yeah.
I think it's the island from House of the Dead. I don't remember.
Isla something.
Yeah. Isla de País.
Morta.
Isla de Island. But, yeah, where will they go next? Only time will tell.
I know. They'll probably be in, like, the 2012 Kick-Ass Awards.
Yes, I hope so.
So, yeah, that's all our awards. Definitely check out everynation.com for even more awards, possibly. And you can see them, all these written out with pictures and videos and a a full multimedia experience if you check out the awards post over at everythingaction.com. And tune in next week, another big show. We're going to be doing our top movies of the year. Will The Expendables be on all of our lists at the top? You'll have to tune in to find out. So that's going to do it for this episode. So if you want more, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/EVAction, which Joe's running up. And you can find a bunch of news stories and retweets to a bunch of cool links and other stuff. Witty banter. You can find us on iTunes. Just go to the music store, search for Everything Action. You can get the podcast there, rate it, subscribe, get new episodes, leave us comments. You know, also on the iTunes store, we have our app, which you can get the last 20 news stories from everythingaction.com. You can listen to the podcast on there too. And let's see what else. Oh, email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach. Merry Christmas. And we will see you next week.